Welcome to Shame Booth. This is our podcast. I'm Paula Williams. At Shame Booth, we did a lot this year. We got her done, and we're so proud of what we've accomplished. Here's a short recap in case you missed it. Ready? This is cool. Look at this. We've released 24 episodes of the podcast thus far, interviewing everyone from domestic abuse survivors to gun violence activist Nicole Hockley to PhD psychotherapist and author Joseph Burgo. 24 episodes. Can you believe it?
We started with Tarana Burke.
We did. We started with Tarana B, and now...
We read B.J. Miller.
B.J. Miller. Joseph Burgo. We got a lot of B's. B-B-B's.
B-B.
We've traveled the country and attended national events, and now have over 1,000 recordings from the booth. Mm. We completed a 2-week residency at the California Institute of Integral Studies, aka really fancy therapy school. All right, we're up to three. Oh yeah, we got three Shame Booths. We have the original, then we have the second one that comes apart and goes in a big crate, and then a portable one. You guys, how cute is this? It looks like a little Victorian voting booth, and it goes in a black case, you know, a little cumbersome, but nonetheless, I can throw that in the back of my car and I'm driving down the border. So anyway,
there's a three shame
we're doing
booth.
So much more shame shedding. You know, this is a full-time job, yo. There's a lot of shame out there and we're busy. And now we have a store. Did I tell my God, we have a store. How cute is this on our website? We're selling the shame game cards, no shame panties, hats, and the fuck shame buttons, which Sister Norma really liked the fuck shame buttons. What else?
It's just been a great year.
It's been a great year.
We've essentially, in short, we've gotten a lot of people to get free from shame.
I think we have. And I feel like we're at this tipping point.
I can feel it too.
Where things are about to turn into something much bigger. I feel it. It's in the air, baby. Mm. And to commemorate all that 2019 was, we are releasing a very special end of the year episode. This episode is different than the average. And we don't do anything, bitches, in this house that's average.
Yeah, there's nothing average about us.
Mm-mm. You're not going to be hearing me. Oh, I like to talk. I'm sorry. My husband will be glad. He goes, this isn't about you. Nobody cares about your story. It's not interesting. Like, what? My story is so interesting. Instead, you're going to hear a rich tapestry of soundscapes and voices from the booth and from interviews that speak to what this project really is and the reason we believe it's important.
Well, it inspired you.
Hells yeah, it did. It inspired me.
You're going to love this.
So I kind of believe that shame is our superpower. That when we can talk about it openly, and the more we talk about it, the less power it has over us, but then it's still our power. I don't know. It's kind of a conundrum, but it's evolving. So anyway, are you ready? Let's dig right in.
The problem with shame isn't as it often is the case. It's not the shame that's the problem as much as it is the defenses against it. People run from shame. People hide from shame. People lie to themselves about shame. And when they do that, their defenses create a whole new set of problems.
We're not even aware we're feeling shame. We've piled on all of those compensatory behaviors, right? Overachiever. I'm really fun. I'm so awesome, right?
Yeah.
And so we don't even really recognize. So there really has to be a process first of what do I feel? And if anybody thinks they don't feel shame, they need to look harder. They need to look harder.
Shame. Shame.
Still shameful for a lot of things.
It's hard to even say those words out loud.
And I carry it every day, and I've made amends, and he forgives me, but I can never let that go. I mean, I haven't been able to let it go yet.
And I don't know how to shake the shame.
Shame, 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 shame.
And I'm deeply ashamed of that.
The best research on how you feel is the me search, right? What is going on inwardly?
I like that me search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can become very good first person scientists. What is my mind? What is the experience of it? How does it shift day to day? And if that becomes something of interest and inspiring, the rest just works out.
What's keeping me from feeling proud today is myself. What is holding me back is myself, myself, inner critic. Always questioning whether I'm good enough, whether I'm doing enough, what's my next move, have I done enough so far? My inner critic is really hard on myself, and I need to let her go. She cannot be with me. She's so heavy, and she needs to stay inside the shame booth. And I'm going to work very hard to do that because I need to be proud of myself. I am proud of myself. I have accomplished a lot, and I'm going to keep telling myself that.
Well, my shame is once my mom told me to feed, you know, my dog, and I said I did, but I actually didn't. And then the next day, my dog was really hungry that she ate my breakfast. That's what I feel ashamed of.
This is different. This is weird. Shame. What am I ashamed of? I'm ashamed at being 26 years old and still have not graduated college. I am ashamed that I'm also 26 years old and I'm not financially in the place that I would like to be. I am ashamed that I feel like there are people in my life that I'm supposed to keep happy, but I'm not doing a good job at it. Yeah, that was tough. What am I ashamed of? I'm ashamed of the people that I've hurt that I don't even know that I hurt, you know? Yeah. Yeah. This is weird. This is the first. I like this idea, though. Thank you.
What I think is important is that shame, when it's not this huge, toxic kind of experience, it sometimes is telling us something that's worth listening to. It sometimes has a lesson to teach us.
I always would end up in a hotel room, like having sex with somebody and be like, how did I get here? And I started realizing that like the steps started like 20 times before I thought that they did. So I was always like, I just woke up one day and like fell on a dick, you know, like who, how did this happen? And instead I was like, no, this started when I stopped communicating with my partner and I kind of like met this person and like we had a vibe and then I like took his phone number and then instead of just like deleting his phone number, I texted him and then we like texted a lot and then we like did long phone calls and then I like felt sort of dissociated but also cool. Like I was like, oh, there's all these steps. And so now I just don't get past like step two. And so I just have more awareness of like how long the road to like being in a hotel room is and that I can actually stop it before it becomes unmanageable, which is very similar to drinking where it's like, I know now, I just don't have the first drink. Whereas for years I was like, no, it's drink seven that gets me into trouble.
Sometimes we feel ashamed because we've let ourselves down. It's sort of like you've disappointed an expectation in yourself or a value you hold. And if you can listen to it, it can help you to be a better person.
I feel ashamed that I was not emotionally strong enough to leave an emotionally abusive marriage for 8 years. And the day I did it, I felt like I flew out of a cage like a bird. But the shame, The shame of not acknowledging that to myself sooner stays with me.
My first boyfriend, my relationship with him was very emotionally abusive, and he would threaten me if I couldn't hang out and if I wouldn't have sex with him. And it wasn't anything like he forced me to, but it just was very degrading because it felt like I was less than. He kept me away from my friends and I felt like I didn't spend time with them, and I just felt like I was worthless, and I had to carry that shame around for a very long time. I feel weird talking about it with new partners and friends because it's embarrassing for me and it makes me feel like I'm worth nothing, and I don't have the experience of what it feels like to have my whole dignity taken like some women who are raped or taken advantage of, but I do understand what it feels like to be worthless. And for all those women, I hope that they feel like they are worth something because they are worth much more than what any man tells them they are.
Everybody gets asked that, you know, why didn't you just leave? You know, that's what my entire TED Talk is about explaining, is why we don't just leave. And you know what? I did leave. There were times where I did leave for short periods of time. But then what happened was I remembered those early fairy tale days and how much I loved him and how sorry for him I felt. And I didn't want to be yet another woman who abandoned him. I was strong. I was smart. I could take this and I was going to see it through. And if you really loved somebody, that's what you did. You know, I bought into all of that mythology about romance and relationships and how it's hard sometimes. And my bad was that I thought I was that person who was going to help him deal with it. You know, it wasn't that I had no self-esteem. It was that I had too much. You know, I thought that, oh yeah, I can handle this. I came from a happy family and I'm a strong, smart, independent woman. I love this man. I can fix him. Easy. It's a funny combination of having a lot of self-esteem and zero self-esteem. It was kind of a lethal combination for me, and I think for a lot of men and women who get into emotionally abusive relationships. It's not the stereotype. You know, it's not that we're these, you know, incredibly weak people. I mean, everybody is much more complicated than that. The stereotypes don't apply to the victims or the abusers.
Here I am in the face of suffering. How do I respond? Here I am feeling less than. How do I respond? And almost every single time, you need awareness and you need kindness. In Buddhism, you'd say you need wisdom and you need compassion. Two wings of the bird.
I used to carry a lot of shame about my sexuality and what I desired. And in my early 20s, I realized that I was really adamantly into cross-dressing and that it kind of never left my life. And going through the process of trial and error and figuring out who I am and what I am. And for that, I've always felt like I've always had a block on my life of love and felt a lot of shame around how I felt sexually. And since coming out and being free, I've basically taken the loneliest piece of me, worn it on my sleeve, and now it makes me shine brighter than I ever could before. And I'm learning to accept love, which I am used to giving and giving and giving. I have to, and I am learning to love and accept love.
One thing that I've never talked to anyone about is that I have cock shame. Just the size of my cock and balls and maybe the look of it being uncut, feeling like it's too small and feeling this sense of embarrassment. I feel like I've grown more and more accepting of my body, but that's the one part that is still really hard. And I push myself to actually try to get out there and be around people and to not care, but I do. And it's hard. It's hard to feel that and also not share that with anyone, just to hold that all the time and knowing I can't do anything about that and not knowing exactly how to let it go, but wanting to so much. And I keep experimenting and growing and learning and trying different things.
I tried very hard to wear shorts as often as I could, in part because I was with amputations and burns, you sweat a lot. Mm-hmm. But also I was really purposely trying to say, no, this, I'm going to own this body. This is my body, damn it. I'm going to just show it. You know, I'm it seemed important. And I just remember dozens of times where I'd bump into someone and you'd literally watch as they would kind of take you in quickly because they didn't have time to think or process. And you would see them reveal these expressions. And very often they were looks of horror. It was really like they had seen something horrifying. And those moments were kind of shocking because you really realize you are viscerally repulsive to somebody.
I think my first feeling of shame was growing up as a girl who was always sort of butch and tomboyish, and I always felt the disapproval and the looks and the treatment by other people that made me feel like I was something other, something to be ashamed of in terms of my parents. And I think that really did prevent me from becoming myself in the world. I think by moving to San Francisco and to the Castro, especially, and being around other people who are so self-expressed, that was what allowed me to both drop that sense of shame, probably kind of move to an angrier, ragey phase. And now I finally think through a lot of therapy and self-work that I'm like allowing myself to love myself and make a space for myself in the world, whoever that is. So I encourage everyone else going through that. You're going to be all right. You're going to find your people and you're going to get out of whatever tiny little environment is making you feel like you're another. You're not another.
Feeling connected to others makes our coronary and pulmonary functioning improve, our immunological functioning better. So we can imagine that if at an embodied level, feeling connected has such good health benefits, we also know that qualitatively it feels good. Now, what gets in the way of connection? Loneliness, isolation. But that isn't just because you live removed or far away. It's because you feel separate. So you could imagine that the benefits of what it is to recognize your own shame, share it with others, have and build that connection, the physical implications, not only relaxation, as you're describing, but improved health.
I am a biracial woman, and I am ashamed that it took me so long to dig past the whiteness and to learn to be able to embrace who I am as a woman of color and at the same time love myself for all the pieces that make me me.
I have quite the dilemma on my mind right now because just talking about International Women's Day with my boyfriend kind of sparked a little bit of a disagreement when we were talking about some of the issues that women have. And his kind of take was, well, I've only observed nothing but equality in, you know, the world and the workplace when it comes to the way I think women are being treated. And that was pretty hard for me to try and unpack for him. Especially considering I'm a woman who has had multiple things happen that have been nothing but obvious that things are still very unequal, you know, from being, you know, treated as bait for clients just because I'm a somewhat attractive in the workplace, and being that person who, you know, is, you know, meant to reel them in somehow just because I, you know, can dress a particular way or act a particular way or be expected to be hospitable or, you know, being sexually assaulted when I was in college, which is like something I would never tell him because I don't really want to deal with that type of, you know, baggage that comes with him knowing that someone else really hurt me. You know, a bunch of stuff. So I think I'm going to hang up now. I hope everyone has a great International Women's Day. And I hope that this becomes something that's easy to explain and easy to show others how to, they can be active and make a change and believe women.
The real idea behind Me Too and the exchange of empathy is that it really doesn't matter. It's that I understand the trauma that you're holding. I understand that pain. I know what it feels like. And it doesn't matter what got me there. It's the fact that we're both here. It's a jump off to say, you're not alone, and let me show you what this journey towards healing can look like. And really, we should be focusing on that part of it. Like, what is the journey? Some of us are examples of the journey. Some of us are just getting started. Some of us have tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. But there's a spectrum of folks along this journey. And there's some people, for the folks who haven't started, who are just putting their pinky toe in the water, I think it's better to have examples of healing and the possibilities of healing than it is of more trauma on top of more trauma on top of more trauma.
I never spoke to anybody about this, and maybe nobody would hear it, but it is what it is, girl. So I'm ready. Where should I start? Gay pride. The one event that makes me feel proud. You know, I went through a lot of hardships, a lot of problems, a lot of pain. Never felt loved. I struggled with who I was. One, because I grew up in a Christian home. And two, because I just never knew how to love myself. I was beaten, I was broken down, I was jaded. So scared and so afraid. You know, but pride has made me come out. Like, I'm out now. I'm happy. I'm so in love. You know, things do change. And if I can go back in time and talk to my little self, you know what I would say? No one loves you like you do. You have all this love to give out to people. You have all this care, all this emotion, you know, but no one cares. And that's okay, because you care. And you will make a difference. And people will love you for who you are. I've always been scared. I've been scared to speak the truth. I've been scared to say who I am. But you know, today, I'm coming out. I was raped. I was molested by my cousins, by my uncles. And part of it was, you know, never feeling proud of who I was. Never feeling like anyone even loved me and cared for me. All that changed 2 years ago. And you want to know what really changed my life? I'm going to tell you. I had to detach myself from all that pain, from all that sorrow, and realize that being a victim was not helping me. I was so hurt, I was so much in pain, and no one could save me but myself. Love yourself. You are important. You are loved. And one day, all this will make sense, but till then, be strong, be very strong, stay so brave, and be the best you that you can ever be. I love you. You are important. You always will be.
Dismantling shame is such a, as you probably know, obviously it can be a long and arduous process. And so the earlier we catch them, when you see that spark in their eye and they realize that they're not alone, you're somebody they look up to, you've been through this too. That's why I use pop culture, because I want them to see that trajectory. This is possible. This, just seeing the possibility in their eyes makes all the difference. And so, yeah, I mean, shedding that shame is the first step. And I think Me Too is a big part of helping to shed that shame.
Without shame, I would feel weightless. If I believed I was enough, I would feel free. And for many years, I've been ashamed of having fallen asleep behind the wheel, which continues to affect lives today. And letting go of shame is a step closer to forgiveness in that healing journey. Freeing myself from shame, one shameful thing at a time. Hopefully everyone does as well. Shame free.
What would I be like without shame? You know, some days I get a little glimpse of that. The days where I just let go. The days where I realize, like, I don't gotta fit in to feel good. I don't gotta fit in to be proud. But a lot of the days when I don't tap into that, I don't know what I would be like without shame. You know, there's a voice inside. There's a voice that comes from years and years of conditioning, that comes from the schools, that comes from the textbooks, that comes from the images that we're bombarded with on billboards and magazines and TV and movies. There's the fact that as a young woman of color, as a young Arab woman, as a young Muslim woman, as an adult queer person, my image, my being is invalidated by the mainstream. But also, why would I want to be accepted by the mainstream, right? Why would we want to be accepted into a world that's so violent? So what's keeping me from feeling proud today, what's keeping me from living without shame today, sometimes it's just me, it's just the voice in my head, is the acceptance of these things that have been told to me. And if I could just believe that I was enough all the time, I'd be shining all the time. I'd be thriving. I'd be vibrating higher every single day. So thank you for this. Thank you for this opportunity to leave a message to, who am I leaving a message for? I'm leaving a message for the youth. I'm leaving a message for the sisters. I'm leaving a message for the queer fam. I'm leaving a message for trans women of color. I'm leaving a message for all of us who've been getting the wrong message, the lies, because truth is we're magic, and truth is we're beautiful, and we're ancestors' wildest dreams, for real, real. And we legit are made of stardust. So I'm gonna feel proud today. I'm gonna feel proud of myself, and I'm not gonna let shame win today. That's my affirmation. I'm proud and shame free.
But I know something.
You have nothing to be ashamed of.
I will not let shame conquer me. Today, I am proud of the woman that I have become, and I am becoming, and I am in progress. It is becoming my strength.
I've basically taken the loneliest piece of me, worn it on my sleeve, and now it makes me shine brighter than I ever could before.
You're gonna be all right. You're gonna find your people, and you're gonna get out of whatever tiny little environment is making you feel like you're another. You're not another.
So I'm ready to let that go and flush the motherfucking toilet.
Thank you all so much. For every single person involved in this project, you know who you are. From you, the listeners, to the brave souls who chose to walk into that booth, pick up the phone, and bare their souls. As you know, you don't need the booth to shed your shame. Please call the shame line.
For the love of Jehovah!
Jesus Christ, I'm sitting here waiting for the phone to ring, and I just wish somebody would call me. Ugh. Look, we have this place. It's the Shame Line, 888 Shame Line. My name is Paula Williams, and this is Shame Booth, a podcast series about getting proud. To learn more, please go to shamebooth.org. Shame Booth, the podcast, is produced by Sound Made Public with Tanya Katunjan, Philip Wood, Katie McCutcheon, And Shame Booth, the team is me, Paula Williams, Retta Roland, Rebecca Renee, Foxy the dog, and the Shame Dames that we love and appreciate so much that represent at all our events all over the country. We do thank you so much. Visit the site and hear some clips from the booth. Call the Shame Booth fucking hotline again. Please call the hotline. Go to our website. Yes, we have a website. And subscribe to our podcast. Also, thanks for listening and wishing you a happy, happy holidays and a lovely new year. Oh, we also just launched the Shame Store. No, the shop.
Shop.
Yeah, we've got a thing on the website, the shop, where you can buy some shame swag.
Shame check.
It's pretty cool. Check it out. I'm actually modeling the undies myself.
Oh my God. I can't. I was like, no, whose butt is this?
No shame. Look, I'm 53. You would have never caught me dead wearing my underpants and having someone film me. But now, you know what? 53. Don't give a fuck.
I would show
full
that.
Full 70s bush.
Girl, if I had that butt, I would show it off too. I got all, I was like, whose butt is this?
Anyway. Thank you for listening. And everybody who's supporting this project, we appreciate you and we couldn't do it without you. So have a happy holidays. Take it easy. Don't let your family get you down. And for the love of God, take your meds. Thank you.